and how he's moving, and I'm just thankful for everybody that takes part and are here with us, and I'm excited about that and looking forward to tonight. We do have a business meeting, and we'll definitely have a time of prayer, much to be in prayer about, and I talked to Sister Mildred for a little bit yesterday, and she's getting a little bit better where she's been sickly and what have you, still kind of got the crud and what have you, but I think Brother Roberts had a hard couple of days there, so definitely want to mention him in prayer, and also remember Brother Jim, Sister Glenda. I went by to see Brother Jim for a little bit today, and he was in the day room there and had his little plaque of things. I guess it had a fidget spinner on it and just little different things, I guess, that they can kind of do and what have you, but you know, there's a lot to be in prayer about. And one day, as the song says, we'll get to fly away. I get excited about that. I do. You know, we chase after views. I do. Chase after the perfect view, the nice view, the sunset and all that, the sunrise, the northern lights, all those things. But one day, we're going to have the best view that there is. And it's beyond the stars. It's beyond the clouds. It's beyond what we can imagine. And it's, you know, the Lord created that for us. Think about that. He created that for us. He created that for mankind, those who would choose him. He created that for all of us, and it's amazing to look at it that way. And if you'd like to, let's be turning to Genesis chapter number 1. We'll look at verses 26 and 27. We'll get started tonight because tonight could kind of be portrayed as a sad lesson, but it leads into the best lesson. And when you look at it, what we're talking about, again, our church covenant and what we believe, and looking at this tonight while you're turning to Genesis chapter number 1, tonight's lesson is on depravity, and that's probably about one of the saddest things that you can think about and talk about, but that's something that we believe in based off of what the Word of God believes, or teaches us, we believe. And it says here, we believe that man was created in the image and likeness of God, but in that Adam's sin, the human race fell, inherited a sinful nature, and became alienated from God, that man is totally depraved and of himself utterly unable to remedy his lost condition. And there's a lot to that. All day I've just kind of tried to think on how depraved that I am, how depraved we are as humans, the human race, and how depraved we are. And I think that's something that we need to grasp. If you're ever going to grasp the need of salvation, you will have to grasp your need, understand how depraved you are, that we are, we as people are. If we don't grasp that and understand that, then we would never see the need for salvation. We'd never see the need for a Savior. It would never come to be for us. But I pray tonight that we can learn from this and gain something from this. I believe every saved person here tonight can gain something from it. But I believe every lost person here tonight also can really learn something about the state that we are in, that we're born in. But thank God we got a Savior that will relieve us from that state. He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us there. The only people who do not get to take advantage of his grace are those who do not choose him. Think about it like that. His grace is extended to all of us. But let's pray tonight, and then we'll get started. Lord, we come to you tonight, God, just knowing how needy that we are, not just tonight, but every day, every minute, every hour. God, just always in need of you, what you have for us. And you have an abundance of things for us, Lord, not just at the beginning of our life, not just at the middle, but also at the end. And thank God for all eternity. You haven't left anything out. You've made it possible at every leg of the race. You've got something for us, God, your grace, your mercy. And God, I just pray that you make it real tonight. We think about our condition, our state. We think about what Jesus did for us on the cross, that we could be relieved from that state, that we would have a way of salvation. It's only through the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for all that you do for us. There's so many objects of prayer on our heart, so many hard things that we face in life and people face, God. But again, I'm thankful for the remedy that you created. God, I pray you help hearts tonight. I pray that you uplift the discouraged tonight, God. And Lord, I pray that you convict the lost. It's the most important thing, just understanding our need of salvation, our need of a Savior, and then understanding the blood of Jesus Christ is the remedy. And I just pray you help us tonight. Go with me tonight, Lord God, my heart, my mind, my God, all my words, and help us in the business meeting and all that's said and done tonight. God, we'll give you the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. When you look at the word depravity, I always like to go back and look up a definition and get the actual definition from it. And I use the Noah Webster 1828. I think it's very, very good to use. A lot of times it'll give you a Bible verse to go along with the context. So if you want to, if you're looking up a word in the Bible, and then you can go back and see the exact context of it through the definition, it's a good help, and it'll give you definition or verses. You go back and read those verses, see the context throughout God's word, and it just ties it all together. But depravity is corruption. It's a vitated state. It's wickedness, corruption of moral principles. Vitated, that means depraved, rendered impure, defective, and void. And I tell you, that's why I say when you look at it like that, it doesn't give us a whole lot of hope and just in who we are, and it shouldn't. It would be easy to try to look on the positive side of things. I'm not saying try to be negative tonight, but we need to be honest with ourselves. It's easy to look on the positive side of things and say this person isn't a bad person, this person is a good person, and things like that. And if we're not careful, we could start believing that. I come from grandmas and aunts and what have you that brag on you, make you feel good no matter how bad of a day you are having. Buddy, they have you walking on cloud nine. You're the most handsome. You're the nicest. You're the sweetest. You're the whatever, you know, make you feel good. But I tell you, when you start thinking about salvation, you start thinking about your soul, your condition, you really need to see how depraved you are. And I say you, I mean we. We need to see that and understand that. I look at it this way. When I look at being depraved and what have you, that calls for a level of dependency. I look at it from birth. You look at our lives, just kind of how human nature is. Nobody was born an adult ready and capable to handle what they needed of themselves. Nobody. You know, when you were born, you weren't able to go and get something to eat. You weren't able to talk to people, tell people what you needed. If something hurt, you weren't able a lot of times to say that, to explain that. There had to be a relationship there with somebody, usually mom or dad, what have you, a guardian that would take care of you, that would learn you and be able to help you and get you what you needed. But nobody was born capable of handling everything that they needed to handle in and of themselves. If you slow down and just think about every part of every leg of the race, I use it like that. That's how human nature is. We have always been dependent on somebody else, on someone else, somebody else, something else, always dependent on that. And I really see that here. And when you look back at and how creation started, there was something very special, unique, different when you look at Adam and Eve, because they were created a whole. But they also were created being able to make decisions and make choices. And that's where the downfall came. You imagine God gave us, Adam and Eve, gave them the entire world, gave them dominion over all the animals, over all creation. You take it, you multiply the earth, you replenish it. The earth is yours. The Garden of Eden, that's yours to take and to grow. And then if you get to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it talks about being created in his own image. And that's how God created us. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. We see it very plain. You take the Bible, just plain and literal, it'll answer a lot of questions, a lot of questions we find today, young people have today. Am I this? Am I that? You're one or the other. You're not both, and you're not a non-binary. I just want to tell you, I'm just going to give you the Bible, what it said. This is what he says literally, and that's what he says, and that's how he created us. God created us in his image, to be like him. And as you go on, things kept on things progressed a little bit in Genesis chapter number 2. You look at verses 16 through 17, and the Lord God commanded the man. You see, this is when problems for mankind started. And if you go back, you might not remember your first time of correction, but sooner or later, you should remember a first of correction where you wanted to go away, and those that were in charge of you said, no, you don't go that way, you go this way. And most often in life, that's where we find a problem because our way in human nature does not naturally align with God's way. His ways are past our ways. He's righteous. He's perfect. And we have to learn those things. We're not born knowing those things. Now, you might have some youngsters that are more troublesome than others and what have you like that, maybe more stubborn and hard-headed, maybe need more correction than others, but the reality of it is every single one of us are born depraved and in need of something. We're in need of correction. And see, this is what happened here. As long as we're not told don't do this, then everything's fine, right? I mean, what's wrong? What's wrong if we're not told not to do anything or to not do this or not go there or not do this, then what's wrong? Then you can just do whatever you want to. But we see some commandment that's given here. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You're going to have everything. You have all these things laid out before you. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eatest thou thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now that's as plain and as simple as the day is long, is it not? If you think I've got all of this, I can eat of any of these trees, have all these animals, I've got all this, I just need to stay away from this one thing. How simple is that? You look at the world today, how many things do we need to stay away from? I mean, there's a trap and a snare on just about every corner, something to get you messed up and turned around and all that kind of stuff. But right here, they were told you can have of anything, but just stay away from this tree. Stay away from this. Don't eat of this, because thou shalt surely die. And as you go on into Genesis chapter 3, just looking at some of the history here, we'll get into the New Testament in just a few minutes. But we see how this happened. You look at Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7, you see man did have a little help. It didn't take a whole lot. You know, we still, Adam and Eve had a decision, a choice to make. You and I today, we have a choice to make. Do I do this or do I not? And that's what we kind of put on the scales. I mean, the Lord has given us, I know we have very much so surpassed what you see here in Genesis, but you know, these same simple principles apply to us every single day. What God says for us to do, we should do. Those things that we're supposed to stay away from, shun the very appearance of evil. It leads us into a wrong path. But the devil here, he came along and he didn't come out with a megaphone and he wasn't screaming and jumping up and down. And that's how things a lot of times start out. You don't see the danger in it. You don't see the harm in it. You might not necessarily see the sin in it. But I tell you, sin, that's something that it has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with, the seriousness of that. But we see the serpent here in Genesis 3:1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, that's when we start running into problems, when we start questioning God's word. Now, I don't know anybody that would honestly say, I understand every word that's in here. I understand every context, I understand every doctrine, I understand it all. I don't know anybody that would say that. And so I'm not saying anything like that this morning. or this evening. But questioning God, we run wrong. We start running the wrong direction when we start questioning Him of things. Now, it's not wrong to ask Him, Lord, will you help me understand this? I see this in your word. I see what you're teaching us here. I want to apply it correctly. Will you teach me and will you show me? That's what He wants of us, because we don't know all these things. Adam didn't know all these things. He had things he needed to learn, and Eve had things they needed to learn. But you see, it was very, very early on at the inception of creation that the serpent came along. The fall of Satan had already happened. You look at Isaiah 14, you see how that took place. His pride, he wanted to exalt himself above all that was God. And you see, that is what ended him up. That's the creation of hell for the devil and his angels. That's where that came from. But you see, the one thing that the devil has always wanted to attack is his children and creation, trying to cause confusion, disruption, and just try to get people to question God's word. Yea, hath God said, shall you not eat of every tree of the garden? Did he say that? Is that what he said, Eve? That's the question. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every fruit of the trees of the garden. She knew what was expected. She knew the commandment. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So you can't say, well, she was ignorant and she didn't know. She quoted that pretty direct, didn't she? She knew the expectation. She said, we can have these things, but God said, do not touch this. And you see, that should be enough. That's where you start shunning the very appearance of evil. You know, we deal with Satan, and I know that, but we also deal with the flesh, and I think sometimes he doesn't even have to attack us, and we are our own worst enemy. We fall for things or willingly go along with things that we shouldn't go along with, even without his influence. But now the devil, he didn't just leave it there. The serpent didn't leave it there. He went on a little bit further. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He blatantly lied against God and against God's word. And he will do that. It's important that we know that. When you know in your mind you shouldn't do something, and you're trying to put it on the scales, and you're thinking, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but if I do it this one time, surely nothing bad will happen. You know how many times people tried drugs one time and it killed them? People drank alcohol one time and it either killed them, or maybe they got in a car wreck, or maybe got in a fight and killed somebody else. You know how it doesn't take all this time. It can happen just one single time. And here's the thing, we're without excuse. The Bible is plainly clear on these things, and it doesn't take just a whole big bunch of chances and things. Sometimes people don't get multiple chances. I can see different situations in life that I've seen with people that they didn't have multiple chances. But the devil is talking to Eve here and says, ye shall not surely die, blatantly. That's blasphemy. That's going against the word of God and what God said. Now, this was his explanation. He worked on Eve's mind and worked on her ego. If you want to really start seeing how you can drive a person, you see what motivates them. And if you can talk a person up and they fall for what you're saying, and you drive them through bragging on them, then you're leading them along. And see, sometimes they may be none the wiser because they're hearing what they want to hear or what have you here. But see, the devil had his way of explaining this away. Verse number 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You see, he's saying, you know, you'll be like God, and God don't want you to be like him. You see, Eve, I bet you anything, Eve didn't know the backstory to Satan during this time, how he ended up where he was at, crawling on his belly as a little subtle snake and a serpent there. She probably didn't know that and understand that, didn't see that coming in that way, but she didn't have to see that. She already had God's commandment. She had already what counted, what God said. Just like the centurion that we studied about on Sunday, whatever Jesus says, it's going to be. Whatever God says, it's going to be. Regardless of what anybody else, even Satan, says, it's going to be. And so in her mind, she's weighing this out. It's like, well, maybe I need to know that. Curiosity. I want to know those things. I want to know good and evil. I want to know more than what I know. This desire for more knowledge and what have you, even though it was bad knowledge, not knowledge that she was supposed to have. You think about the innocency that she had. All she had to do, all she and Adam had to do was tend the garden, be in the garden, take care of the animals. You know, the older I get sometimes, you know, that sounds very appealing, just to have your own little place, take care of your own little animals and handle things, live off the land. Well, they had that. That's how creation started. But things changed. Things changed so quickly. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. She saw it. She looked at it. And of course, human nature, when it says, hey, don't touch that, that's the first thing a little child wants to do. Well, why? And touch it just to see what happens. Why? Why? But she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. That is exactly how the devil really tries to work on us. He tries to get us to consume things. He spend time looking at things. You spend time on the internet, window shopping, what have you. You see things and you bring that in. And when you bring it in, where does it fall? It falls in the mind. And the mind has to do something with it. When the mind dwells on it long enough, if you're not careful, it'll fall into the heart. And then when it falls into the heart, then the heart gets to the place of acting on it. And that's kind of the progression of sin. You know, that's how it comes together. It was pleasant to the eyes, the tree, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. It looks good. It will make me smarter. Everybody's looking for that magic pill today. That's kind of what this was for her. Make you smarter. And she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, you think about it instantly, that right here from the very beginning, they experienced something they had never experienced before. They were really in a place of ignorance is bliss. All they had to do was what God said. That was their mission. You get up in the morning, till the land, take care of the animals, and whatever God says. And so far, God said, just stay away from this one tree. Stay away from this fruit. Stay away from this one place. And then immediately, you think about the shock on the system. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know, when you start thinking about the age of accountability today, we're going to kind of fast forward a little bit. We can't go through every single aspect of it, but you think about the age of accountability. That's what we talk about today. We use that. I don't say the age of accountability is this number. People are different. People learn at different rates, learn things differently, what have you, but I know that there's a time. The way this works out and comes together, when they fell, this is the fall here, when they committed this sin, they immediately knew something was wrong. It's like, we're not supposed to be naked. This ain't right. This ain't right. Who told them it wasn't right? Who told them that? God didn't say that. It's this knowledge that they received after eating of this tree. You see, this is knowledge that God himself had. That wasn't meant for you and me in the beginning. Do you know that? Isn't that something to think about? How innocent we were, how innocent that we potentially could have remained. I know this is all God's will and how it came to be and how it came together, but you imagine that those two people experienced something that nobody else would ever experience in such a way. And that's amazing. You know, I think we can experience the regeneration through what we have through salvation. We have it on the inside, just like Brother Nathan and I were talking about. We got this flesh to contend with. And that's a battle. That's a huge battle. But it came together in their mind. They knew that things weren't right, and they immediately started trying to cover things up. Immediately. And it doesn't take long. We learn that very, very quickly in life. Josh isn't here tonight, and I think I may use this one time. I want to use it again because it's one of the best illustrations I've got. I think you see a good illustration of how mom cares for her child, but also the reality that people know what they're doing. Several years ago, when we were still living in Banner Elk, Josh was just a little fella. I don't know how old he was, and me and Brandy, we were in the living room, and he was back in his room, and Honey, the dog that we had at that time, was back there with him. And, you know, just, I don't know, Saturday morning, what have you, we were all together at the house anyway. And then all of a sudden, she yelped, and she comes running through the house. And I said, Josh, what did you do? And immediately, Brandy said, he didn't mean it. I was like, he didn't mean what? You don't even know what happened yet. You don't know. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? So I went back there with him, and Brandy ran back there, and I was like, what is going on? And he said, He shut the door what? And it shut the door on Honey's tail. I said, Josh, I said, you knew you weren't supposed to do that. Brandy taking up for him. He didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't know. And I was like, let's do a test. Let's do a test to see if he knew or not. I said, Josh, stick out your finger. Stick out your finger. And he said, why? I said, and Brandy's like, Jason, don't do it. She thought I was going to do it. And I said, Josh, stick out your finger. And he did. And I got him over to the door and I put his finger in the door jamb and I swung the door back like I was getting ready to shut it. And what did he do? Did he stand here like this? What do you think he did? He jerked his finger. I said, now why'd you do that? He said, you know, he had his little boy voice. He said, it will not hurt me. I said, that's right. And you knew it was going to hurt honey. But you see, that is the precursor. When you start learning right from wrong, you know at an early age. You learn things and you know things, but you do things to see what happens. And a lot of times it's just being mean or mischievous. But when you get to the place that you understand right from wrong, like Eve, Adam, where they were at here, they got to the place to understand like, hey, we're not going right. That's when a person realizes, I'm dependent on something. I have to be dependent on somebody. When you start feeling conviction in your heart, that is the Lord telling you, you are depraved. You are completely depraved. Nothing that you can do in and of yourself will ever get you to heaven. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And it does. It feels awkward. It's a reproving. It's a conviction straight to the face. And it's awkward and it feels bad. But you're like, well, I need to do something. You get to a place. That's what conviction is supposed to produce, is that it doesn't harden you, but you get to the place that you give in to it. Say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know, sometimes for the saved person, maybe it's going and apologizing to somebody or making something right. That's what he's talking about here. When Jesus went to the cross, he gave us a way to make this right. Let's go to Romans chapter number 3. We're going to go on into the New Testament because it speaks to it more so here. You see the inception of sin. You see the fall of man. You see the inception of sin when people started not obeying God. And that comes at a cost. That comes at a price. And I can't express to you enough the importance of understanding the cost of sin. In all sin. You say, no, with a little white lie or, you know, murder, it's all different, what have you. Sin is sin. The Bible teaches us if we break any part of the law, we're guilty of all of it. That means the whole book gets thrown at you if you break one part, and we've already broken one part. We were born that way. Isn't that something to think about? You and I were born that way. We didn't have to do something to be made wrong. We were already wrong to begin with. That's depraved. We're depraved. We are born needing. We are born needy just right out of the gate. But you look at Romans chapter 3. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 22. That even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's none of this, I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl, I try to live right, I live moral, I try my best not to break God's law. That doesn't matter. The Bible is very honest in telling us every single one of us is already depraved. We've already sinned. We've already come short. So when you look at that and you read those verses, for all have sinned, say, look at it this way, at least you're not alone. We're all under this. We're all under this together. We're all equally wrong. All of mankind is equally wrong. We're born equally wrong, equally depraved. We've all come short. God has this goal. He's saying, this is my goal. This is righteousness. This is what I expect of you. And then the Bible immediately tells us, none of you have made that. Every single one of you, every single one of us has fallen short. And you look at Romans chapter number 5, verse 12. A lot of this is the Romans Road, and this is straight from the verses that we have in our church constitution. It's not something that you just try to put together. It's the Bible. It's there together. This is what we believe. And what we just read in Genesis there, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that decision, that choice, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So that means every single one of us are going to die. Every single one of us. That's the penalty. When, just like I gave the illustration that one time when the judge was reading, she was reading the general statutes, and it said, all that this person has to prove, this officer has to prove is this, these things have been proven. She looked up, she said, guilty. Guilty. And so when you look at God's word and you read this here, all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's, the gavel goes down, guilty. And if you have reached the age of accountability, and the Lord has dealt with your heart, he has shown you that you're lost, he has convicted your heart, and telling you you need to be saved, you need to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, if he's telling you that, and you do nothing with that, and you die, or he returns in the rapture, you no longer have any hope of heaven. That's when death has passed upon you. It's already there. You're kind of, and I'm not trying to be scary, I'm just being honest, you're really toying with something you cannot control. We don't know. We don't know how much time we have. We don't know about sicknesses, illnesses, car wrecks, any kind of accidents. We don't control those things. But you see, his mercy and his grace he's given to us, when we see that, when we understand that, the only thing you have to do is accept it. He's made it very, very simple for us that way. Not to just kind of keep pushing things on, what have you, but you have to know and understand it. How do I escape this? You escape it only by accepting him. That's the only way that we can escape that. And there's more on that for next week. I just want to give you this. I want you to think about these things. He'll save you tonight. If you ask him, he'll save you tonight. You don't have to wait for anything, but he'll save you tonight. But I want you to see and understand the situation that you're in. Romans 6:23, this is what I'm talking about here. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty. If you look it up in God's law, in his book, his Bible here, that's what we had, the criminal law book in the court system, what have you. Look up the elements. It said a person guilty of this crime has done, and it lays it out. If you've sinned, you're guilty of this. And the punishment, then it goes on in after it says after you confirm a person has done this, then you go to the sentencing phase. What's the sentencing for sin? Death. And it doesn't give any other punishment. It just says death. Sin is punishable by death. For the wages of sin is death, but it doesn't leave it there. The Bible doesn't leave it there. God doesn't leave it there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know how powerful that is? That's the most powerful thing there is. No law of the land can override that. Satan himself cannot override that. That is forever settled in heaven. You get that right, then you're on the right path. Doesn't make your life good. Necessarily everything's just going to be easy and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something. Standing justified before God is the only place you want to be, regardless of anything else that happens. Anything else. Because one day that's going to happen to every single one of us. One day every single one of us, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Every single one of us. You're going to see it that everybody will see it in that day. Those people who are self-proclaimed atheists and what have you, they won't be that day. They won't be before that day if they go by way of the grave, because they'll already be in a place called hell. That's scary. That scares me to death. But through Jesus Christ, isn't it amazing what he's done for us? And let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to look at a couple of verses there. I'm getting ready to finish up here. But think about being depraved. But you don't have to stay that way. You know, you have a young child that's depraved of food. What does he do? He cries out. He cries out to mom, cries out to dad, cries out to somebody, and somebody delivers that for him. You know, you realize you're depraved tonight, and you start crying out to God, he'll in no wise cast you out. He'll feed you. He'll take care of you. He'll come to you arms wide open. And you see this here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It's saved by grace. If we were saved by God's love, everybody here would be saved. You know that? He loves us all. He loves every single one of us. It's not his love that saves us. I saw this in a commentary not long ago, and it really spoke volumes to me. It's not his love that saves us. It's his grace that saves us. He loves us. He loves us all. He loves us even when we're wicked and unrighteous. But that don't make us saved, does it? Think about that. He loved us so much, he said, I know you're depraved, and I know you can't get to me, but I'm going to make a way for you. So you have that choice to make. You have that choice, that belief to be able to make. And it says, and you hath he quickened. That means made alive. Brother Nathan, we were talking about this, talking about that weight being lifted off of you, thinking about facing death. You know, that's probably one of the scariest things that any one of us could think about is facing is death. But for the death of a saint, you think about the weight that is lifted off. I think back to the night that I got saved, and that weight, even as a young boy, that weight that was lifted off, man, I tell you, that was amazing. That was an amazing experience, and it just is. And I mean, I can't over-embellish it. I'd try to if I could, but I can't, because being saved is the most wondrous experience that anybody could undertake or experience. But I want you to think about this. You think about, as a saved person, that instant that he takes you on and you get to lay this flesh down finally. Think about that. It's not even just the aches and the pains, the headaches, the sore bones, and think about that. You think about that sin that is all in flesh and it's gone instantly. Think about that. I pray the Lord make that real to us. That's something to think about. I know we envision death as a scary and a hard thing, but I want you to know precious in his sight is the death of his saints. I tell you, I know it's scary. I'm not saying I'm ready. Let's go right now. But I'm telling you, I'm saved. I'm ready in that aspect. But the human nature side says, now wait just a minute. But you know, he took the sting out of death. He took care of everything. Every phase of our life, he has taken care of that if we put our faith and our trust in him. Verse number one again, it says, and you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's how we're born. We're born that way. He's made you alive once you've accepted in him. And wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, you did those things you shouldn't have done. You slamming your dog's tail in the door and living like you shouldn't live. And it gets a lot worse than that. The Gentiles, I tell you, we are a rough, rowdy group of people if you read the Word of God. Just the very fact that he would allow us the opportunity to accept him is amazing. That just speaks, that gives testimony to his grace, treating an offender better than what we deserve. We didn't deserve any of it. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's talking about Satan himself, whatever he wanted people, led people to do, falling for it and doing it. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, you see, that's the underlying prince and power of the air that you see, that rebellious spirit that you see. Verse number 3, and it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That goes back to speak to how a person is before they accept Christ. That's the nature. And let me tell you, there's absolutely no future in that nature. There's no future in that. If that's what you're putting your hope in, it's going to fall. It's not going to get you there. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to close out here just a couple more verses, and we'll get to our business meeting. But there's a remedy. There's an absolute remedy for being depraved, and I want us to see that and understand that tonight. Again, the thing about this is being Gentiles, Ephesians 4, 17 and 19. It says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You go back to this point in time before the gospel had been extended. And it had been at this time. You go back into the gospels and you see that it was extended to to the Gentiles, but we Gentile people were used as an example in the Bible of this is how you don't want to be. This is, we were the people that your parents today would sit down and say, now you don't hang out with that group. You don't run with that group. That's the bad crowd. You don't want to run with them. But isn't it amazing? God loved us enough that he said, I'm going to make a way for them too. They're not even my chosen people, but I love them. And I want to extend grace to them. I want to extend that to them. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, we were so depraved that, and we didn't even know it. We had no way of knowing it. What was the expectation for a barbarian? Just to live another day. Rob and pillage people, live like the devil, just get through another day. There's no hope of a better day. I mean, it was the worst of the worst. See, the Jewish people had the oracles of God, God's word. They knew what was expected. So you and me, the Gentile, we didn't have that, but we have it today. You have it right now. Who being past feeling, we go back and read this 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, didn't have no expectation of what God was like because of the blindness of their heart, the condition of our heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness and with greediness. In verse 20 it says, but ye have not so learned Christ. And I'll go ahead and read down here, verse 21, it says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The reason I want to go to that place and kind of park it right there, next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about salvation. Not that you hadn't heard the plan of salvation tonight. And I'm not trying to leave you in a darkened state, but I want you to understand the seriousness of our heritage, where we're from. Where the Gentile people are from, where we were, but where God didn't leave us. You think about being depraved tonight, you don't have to be. If you call out to the Lord, he'll answer you. He'll answer you. And I want you to really think about that and focus on that tonight. Just understanding, calling out to Jesus, trusting in his blood, trusting in salvation that he can only give to you. I want you to understand that tonight. It's serious. It's serious. We don't have a hope of tomorrow. I wonder if somebody would have something they would like to add to this tonight before we...